Chapter 8. Local radio didn't work, but satellite radio did, and the twins had it in their Jeep. We sat in their driveway, listening to news reports, trying to come up with a plan. The national media had no idea what the hell was going on. Tucson was the only place this was happening. They had the video shots from the football game to analyze, but nobody on the radio could agree on anything. The outside world had precious little contact with Tucson. Only a few people with satellite phones and internet connections could communicate, and rumors swirled. Still, we learned a few things. The entire Tucson airport and airfields at Davis-Monthan were uprooted and unusable. The grinder was mostly spread out close to the ground, though it would occasionally rear up like a cobra or tsunami. It was using dead bodies as highly effective ammunition against helicopters. The Tucson police chopper was crashed and smoldering on top of a Los Betos somewhere on the south side, and another helicopter had crashed right into the side of A Mountain, setting the entire hill on fire. Despite the video from Arizona Stadium, nobody could get past describing the monster as anything other than a giant Godzilla-like entity. They debated the origins of the creature. They also talked of how to stop it. They played clips from an earlier press conference, and the military monotone voice said flat out that they would never use a nuke as long as the creature remained in a populated area. Other options were non-lethal chemical solutions. They promised if they did use big ordnance, they'd warn us first, though I didn't know how they'd do that.
They don't know what to do,
Royce said.
The radio and cell phone blackout is from them,
Randy said, while Royce nodded. They were in their element, talking military tactics.
It's SOP. They know they're going to have to do something unpopular. They don't want burning babies shown live on CNN. With all the satellites, they'll never stop the flow of information,
Royce said. Randy grimaced.
But they can sure try.
They won't nuke,
Royce said.
They might, if it takes off toward Phoenix,
Randy said.
But they'll try something smaller first. Moab, maybe.
His eyes widened.
No. Willie Pete. Willie Pete,
Royce repeated.
Of course. I bet they try that first.
He looked at me.
Shit, man. You won't want to be anywhere near Ground Zero when they drop that. There's no defense.
What's that?
White phosphorus. It's some seriously nasty stuff. It's napalm's evil little brother. It not only kills you in 100 different ways, it digs you up after you're dead and fucks your corpse and then emails your mom to tell her about it. It's that evil. It combusts at 80-something degrees. It'll burn a hole right through you like the acid blood in Alien. But it's worse than that. You get some on you, and it's over. Even if you douse yourself with water, it doesn't come off easily because it sticks like wax. Once it dries, it just turns back on, reigniting off your body temp just to fuck with you. And if you do manage to get it off, just a small amount in your bloodstream from a burn is enough to poison and kill you anyway.
Just breathing it fucks you up,
Randy added. He made an explosion noise.
It makes your lungs boil.
Oh, so... Stay away from Willie Pete. Royce nodded.
No truer words have been spoken.
Guys, this isn't helping.
If you want to save your wife,
Randy said,
we'll need to protect you from the creature. But we also need to protect you from the military.
Royce nodded.
Kevlar and a gas mask will help. But we need to know for sure how this monster captures people. My brother's jellyfish analogy may be correct, or he may be full of shit. Until we know, we can't keep you safe.
We need a biological sample, a body or a body part that was attached, so we can look at it under a scope.
We don't have time for this, man, I said. I slipped out of the Jeep and paced on their driveway. Every minute that passed, the chances of me getting Niff back grew slimmer and slimmer.
We know somebody,
Randy said.
If anyone has already figured this out, it's her.
We promised her,
Royce said to his brother.
Who? Promised her what?
Clementine,
Randy said. Royce groaned.
She'll kick our ass if we show up at her house. Adam, you met her the other day. She was the girl from the Halloween party.
Which girl?
Niff and I and the twins had attended the Halloween party at the university. Niff didn't have that great of a time because she didn't know anybody there, so we left early. I had dressed as a dog, and she went as a cheerleader holding a giant jar of peanut butter. Only a few people had gotten the joke. which had pissed off the already grumpy Niff even more. The twins had worn normal clothes, but Royce decked out in makeup and a wig to make his head look fake. They spent the evening before the party walking around campus, freaking people out when Royce would move and talk.
Clementine was the badger.
I remembered her. She was drunk on the couch, making out with a gladiator. She had a thick southern accent. How is she going to help?
Let's go,
Randy said.
We gotta grab some stuff from the house, but we'll explain on the way.
They shoved the Al Capone shotgun in my hands. The gun was heavy and didn't feel natural. I'd shot handguns when I was much younger. I'd never held anything like this. As I held the gun, I worried about something that had been bothering me a lot, especially in the past hour. I was a pussy, and I knew it. I used to watch all those war movies like Hamburger Hill, Platoon, Saving Private Ryan, shit. Even the sci-fi ones like Starship Troopers, and it always terrified me. I tried to put myself in that situation. I always wondered how I'd react when the shit started to fly. I knew the answer. I was afraid my fight-or-flight instinct was broken. All I had was the flight part. Once, before we got married, Niff and I were at a Lucky Wishbone waiting at the picnic table outside for our food. This scraggly-looking homeless dude and his wife or girlfriend came up and sat at the table next to us.
Give us some money,
the guy said. He said it to Niff.
We're hungry.
Get a job, shitbucket,
Niff said. I could be a real jerk sometimes, but when it came to confrontations with absolute strangers, I preferred avoidance. Niff, on the other hand, liked to light every fuse she came across. Small and meek at first glance, her abrasive, aggressive manner caught people by surprise. They backed the fuck down right away. But not always. The guy went crazy. He jumped up on the bench and ripped off his jacket, revealing a frame so emaciated and frail that a strong sneeze could be fatal. He pounded his chest like a goddamned gorilla, and he let out an incoherent, screaming stream of expletives right in my girlfriend's direction. Niff laughed. The guy's companion tried to get him off the bench. He pulled away, and for a moment I thought he was going to haul off and punch Niff right in the face. I froze. I knew I should do something. Anything. But I didn't know what. At the very least, even the most timid of men would put themselves between the crazy and his girl. But I did nothing. I sat there, useless, and I allowed my girlfriend to do all the work.
Come on,
the guy's girlfriend said, finally pulling him off the table. She dragged him away as he continued to scream at Niff. He left his jacket on the table. Niff picked it up and taunted him as they left.
You left your coat, you fucking bum. You're going to freeze to death tonight, you worthless pile of vomit. I'm going to find your corpse in the morning and piss right in your dead fucking face, you hear me?
After he was gone, Niff looked at me and laughed.
What an asshole,
she said. She never noticed or said anything about my lack of reaction. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I was a coward, and I knew it. I could pretend, lie to myself all I wanted. But the truth was the truth. There was no fixing it. As much as I wanted to save Niff, as much as I was willing to die in order to save my wife, that nagging little voice in the back of my head wouldn't go away. You don't have the balls to make the sacrifice. Not when it matters.
I still wish it were zombies,
Royce said as they emerged from the house a minute later, holding two black duffel bags. We abandoned Scooter's truck and went into their Jeep because they had the radio. I sat in the back while they took up the front of the modified cab. They had me continue to hold the gun. Randy did all of the driving from his vantage on the left side, though they both held the wheel. I'm not sure how they managed to drive, but a whole episode of their TV show explained it. I eyed the bags. What's that? Randy said.
Our zombie survival gear. Loads of cool stuff.
Royce continued to grumble.
Damn kaiju. Monster finally attacks, and it's the one type we're not prepared for. At least it's not vampires. I don't think I'd be able to handle that. He hates them,
Randy said.
Werewolves, too. That's not true. Werewolves are cool. Since when?
The brothers continued to bicker as we pulled out of their neighborhood and turned onto Benson Highway, heading southwest. The smoky night sky had fewer lights than before, but the loud, sonic boom of fighter jets punctuated the air. It seemed the Grinder had finished rampaging around the south side and now zeroed in toward the more affluent northern side of town. I wondered if it had a plan, if it was deliberately attacking specific areas, or if it was like a child at a playground, running around from place to place, just collecting people. And, after all this time, I allowed myself to ask the question. Why? What the hell was going on? How could this happen? Where did it come from? Scooter said he'd seen the thing on the floor, that it looked like a spilled milkshake. But how did it get there? Was it a science experiment gone bad? Was it man-made? Was there a purpose to it other than being scary as shit? The twins believed it was of alien origin, but I wasn't so sure. It seemed like an odd, elaborate way to kill us. If they had the power to create such a thing, surely they had the means to drop an alien nuke on us. And why here? Why now? The only thing I was certain of was that this wasn't a mistake of evolution or a nuclear waste mutation or anything natural. This was a deliberate, I'm going to fuck your shit up creation made by someone or something who really, really wanted us dead. It scared me. Almost as much as losing Niff. It scared me that I might die and never know the truth.